WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. A decade ago, there was considerable concern that companies and households had borrowed too much money, that balance sheets were over-leveraged. As the stock market and other asset prices began to tumble in 2008 and people began to lose jobs in large numbers, it turned out that those fears were justified. The rapid accumulation of debt during the century's initial decade culminated in the Great Recession. 10 years later, are we making the same mistakes again? Perhaps not. As indicated in the New York Times, household debt is now equivalent to about 51% of gross domestic product. That's down from 73% in 2008, according to Federal Reserve data. But problems may be brewing. Credit card debt has been on the rise recently, and more than 6 million Americans are 90 days or more behind on their auto loan payments. Moreover, corporate America has simply gorged on debt since the financial crisis. Corporate bond issuance is up by more than $3.5 trillion, or 67% since the end of 2007, according to data from the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Approximately 2 years ago, the federal government lifted a 40-year ban on the export of oil. Since that time, tankers filled with U.S. crude have landed in more than 30 countries, ranging from behemoths like China and India to diminutive Togo. As indicated by Reuters, permission to export U.S.-produced oil has unleashed a flood of U.S. shale oil production, undercutting global crude prices and eroding the market power of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its 14 member nations. In 2005, prior to the shale revolution, the U.S. recorded net imports of 12.5 million barrels per day of crude. Today, net imports are down to just 4 million barrels per day. U.S. producers, of course, serve domestic customers, but are also reaching out to new customers in some of the world's biggest oil importing nations in Asia and in Europe. The result is that America's producers are increasingly posing a serious competitive threat to the only other nations on the planet capable of producing so much oil, Saudi Arabia and Russia. Back in America, the export boom has filled pipelines and sparked a surge of investment in new shipping infrastructure along the Gulf Coast. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. The unemployment rate in France has recently stood at 9.4%. It has not fallen below 9% for 6 years. So it might surprise you to learn that businesses in France are facing enormous shortages of labor. French manufacturers, construction firms, engineering enterprises, and various information technology segments also report widespread shortages of available talent. As indicated by Reuters, the explanation for simultaneous high unemployment and a lack of available workforce is a massive skills mismatch. The French education system simply does not produce enough skilled workers. That means that even as France enjoys its strongest growth in 6 years, the lack of skilled workers is generating production bottlenecks and gumming up supply chains. This represents a limit on how far and fast the French economy can expand. American businesses have also reported these types of issues, but the unemployment rate here is just above 4%. As is the case in much of the Western world, wage pressures are building in France. Many employers have avoided moving to permanent employment contracts until now over fears that France's strict labor rules would prevent them from letting workers go if business sours sometime in the future. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. There has been considerable discussion regarding the fates of so-called Dreamers, members of our El Salvadoran and Haitian communities and other immigrant communities. If a significant fraction of these populations is required to leave the U.S., there will be many economic implications, including for healthcare. According to an analysis of census data by PHI, a New York-based research organization, 1 in 4 direct care workers in the nation's nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and home care agencies are foreign-born. In the so-called gray market, where consumers hire home care workers directly and often pay them under the table, the proportion is likely far higher, according to writer Paula Spann. The number of immigrants in direct care surged from about 500,000 in 2005 to approximately 1 million a decade later. With people living longer, and given the demographics of America's massive baby boom generation, demand for direct care workers will inevitably rise during the years ahead. However, these demands may go unsatisfied given shifting immigration policies. Moreover, healthcare employers are increasingly having to compete for workers with other emerging economic segments, including logistics and hospitality. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Among the groups of Americans that is not enjoying a vigorous economic recovery are U.S. farmers. Though there has been significant improvement in both global and national economic prospects recently, farm incomes are anticipated to hit their lowest point since 2006 this year. According to federal data, borrowing costs are rising, while a string of bumper corn and soybean harvests have produced a glut of grain worldwide. The result is that grain prices have plummeted. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, foreign rivals like Brazil and Russia are also chipping away at American dominance in the global grain trade, fueling a multi-year downturn that is pushing some American farmers out of business. The result is that many rural economies are hurting. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently forecast that farm incomes would decline 7% this year to $60 billion on lower crop and livestock revenue. $60 billion is less than half the record $124 billion farmers earned in 2013. The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City has stated that lending at agricultural banks jumped late last year as more farmers borrowed just to stay afloat. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.